Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Dr. Chloe Carmichael is here. Chloe is, she's known as Dr. Chloe. She's a licensed clinical psychologist. She's has her own very successful practice, private psychology practice. She is the author of a new book. It's taken the world by storm, Nervous Energy, Harness the Power of Your Anxiety, and she's our new friend. Dr. Chloe, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Jim. Good morning.
It's good to have you here. So all my life, I've been accused of having nervous energy. And I'm sure with justification. When you think of nervous energy, what do you think?
Well, Jim, first of all, when you say accused, you make it sound like a bad thing. I mean, that's great. And by the way, I would confirm, Jim, I would agree you've got nervous energy, but I mean it as a compliment. So what I'm saying with the book, Nervous Energy, Harness the Power of Your Anxiety, is that with a little bit of anxiety, that's actually a healthy thing to have in life, and it gives us that little zing and that little boost, but we just need to know how to channel that energy so that it's constructive rather than, you know, just jittery.
Well, that's exactly right. One of the things that I've talked a lot about on the show here before is the fact that fear, and I didn't so much use the word anxiety, but I like to talk about fear around here because fear is often a good thing. It's telling you, you know, don't touch the stove or oftentimes fear is giving you good information, right?
Exactly. That's exactly right. So, you know, when people say like, hey, no fear, or Dr. Chloe, how do I get rid of my anxiety? I try to help them understand, you know, that the real goal is never to totally get rid of it, because in its proper place, it's actually giving us a little helpful information. But we actually need to listen to it. And by listening to it and paying attention to it, that's how it doesn't have to, you know, kind of scream and stomp to get our attention and go crazy. If we just listen to it and deal with it at lower levels.
Right, exactly. And, you know, the other thing that's part of this is failure, right? I mean, the harness made of success is failure. And we should learn part of anxiety is not wanting to fail. But the truth is, if you're going to be a successful entrepreneur, you have to embrace that, don't you?
100%. Exactly right, Jim. So the healthy function of anxiety is to stimulate preparation behaviors. So if I have a big meeting tomorrow and I'm not even in the least bit anxious about it whatsoever, you know, I wouldn't even maybe think to say double check my notes or make sure I, you know, kind of get really super prepared. It's actually the person with a little bit of healthy anxiety who's going to double check and make sure. Now, on the other hand, there is a tipping point where people can kind of just get way out of control and they double check their notes so much that they end up, you know, forgetting to, you know, bring something else that they needed to the meeting. So there is a tipping point. We just want to make sure we're in the sweet spot.
Well, that's exactly right. What you're talking about is who's in control, right? Are you in control, or are you letting your anxieties control you? And one of the, you know, a big part of this is just being to the point where you say, okay, if it breaks, I can fix it. I mean, isn't some of dealing with your anxiety something I talk about a lot on the show here? To me, a lot of dealing with your own anxiety is also believing in yourself. What do you think?
That is so true, Jim. So what's actually really interesting on that point is that psychology studies show that it's oftentimes people that have the highest need for achievement, that actually don't succeed at as complex of goals as people with a medium need for achievement. Mm-hmm. And the reason is because sometimes people with a high need for achievement are so uncomfortable with failure that when they hit a stumbling block, they can't stay with it and figure it out because being unable is so frustrating. So you're exactly right that by learning how to just understand if it breaks, I will figure out how to fix it. And it's normal to like kind of bump up against things sometimes. That actually means you're growing. But the trick, again, is really to learn how to embrace it and work with it instead of, you know, just getting scared and running away.
One of the most liberating things that I've ever achieved was getting to the point where I could say out loud, I was wrong about that. Now, I don't say, mm-hmm. my wife would like me to say that more often at home, I'm sure, but to be in a work setting in my business, to be able to look back and say, man, I messed that up. That's a liberating position, isn't it?
It is so true, Jim. One of the things I actually say in my book to help people to kind of get around that fear is when you do find yourself, you know, slipping or kind of slipping into some old anxiety habits that you're trying to break, the first thing you should do is congratulate yourself on your awareness of being able to spot where you're going off track, because that actually gets your mind into the right mindset of feeling like, okay, I made a mistake, but the good news is I noticed it and I recognized it and I can now figure out how to work on it, because, you know, if I didn't even have the awareness of the mistake, that would be, you know, kind of worse. So I'm going to start off by congratulating myself, is what I say in the book, and then we can go from there about figuring out the best way to fix it.
Well, and repetition is important in this too, isn't it? Because I can remember when I started out in my business decades ago, any little thing that would come up, it was a bigger impact on me because I hadn't had as that many reps in dealing with that. And then after a few years, when I handled a few hundred of those, something else would come up, and I'd say, well, okay, this could hurt, but I've done at least 20 of these before. And I survived. Isn't repetition and that kind of perspective, isn't that key to dealing with society, with anxiety? Last thoughts.
Yeah, that is so true. So we have to normalize the fact that, you know, it can take multiple exposures, you know, of trying something. You know, you're reminding me of a lot of different techniques in the book, actually, Jim. I kind of feel like you should have been a co-author.
All this is coming out of your book. I'm totally devoted. Quick break, right back with Dr. Chloe Carmichael. Nervous Energy is their book. We come back, we're going to talk about anchoring statements and worry time. If you're a small business owner, you know all about worry time.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.